Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers this week, I want to speak about the Syrian civil war and the fact that the United States, under Barack Hussein Obama, appears to be on the verge of getting involved in the Syrian civil war, of striking at targets in Syria. We all know that Bashar al-Assad, the dictator of Syria, is using chemical weapons and is using poison gas to murder his own people. This we know. We also know that the other side are equally brutal and would also use poison gas if they had it. And maybe they are using chemical weapons to some degree, but there's no real difference in terms of the brutality from either side. We also know that over 100,000 Syrian Muslims have been slaughtered in the past 2 years by their fellow Syrian Muslims. Over 100,000 Muslim men, women, and children have been massacred by their fellow Muslims just in the past 2 years. What is one of the lessons that we should be learning from all of this? Well, I would like our fellow JTFers to consider this. What would happen when these events are unfolding? What would have happened if JTF had been a mass movement? If we were a mass movement, then we could reach millions and millions of people every week on a consistent basis with our message. What would happen? We would make people aware of what common sense and logic should make everybody be able to see by now. But people are not seeing it because they're being brainwashed day and night by the left-wing news media and by the phony right news media. We would make people see what common sense and logic should force all of us to see. And that is, if this is what Muslims do to each other, imagine what they would do to us if they had the chance. Over 100,000 Muslims slaughtered by their fellow Muslims in the Syrian civil war. Over 300,000 Arabs slaughtered by their fellow Arabs in the Lebanese civil war in the 1970s and 1980s. Over 2 million Muslims were slaughtered in the Iran-Iraq war of the 1980s. Over 2 million Muslims were killed in the war between Iran and Iraq by their fellow Muslims. And poison gas was used in that war as well. And I could go on and continue to give you facts and figures on all of the massacres, on all of the genocide, on all of the Holocaust that Muslims have perpetrated against their fellow Muslims. Pakistani Muslims slaughtered Bengali Muslims in the 1970s in the war in East Pakistan. They slaughtered over 3 million Bengali Muslims, the Pakistani army, and have never been held accountable for their war crimes. And so the lesson that we would be expressing, the lesson that we would be pointing out to people, if we were a mass movement — we're already doing this now, but if we were a mass movement, we would be reaching millions upon millions of people with this message. The lesson to be learned here is, this is Islam. If this is what Muslims do to each other, imagine what they would do to us. Now, of course, if Chaim Ben Pesach were the Prime Minister of Israel at a time like this, the first thing I would do would be to go on Fox News and go to the general news media, and the American media would cover me extensively if I were the Prime Minister. I would be a very interesting story, someone like me becoming Prime Minister. It would get massive headlines all over the world. And I would go to the United States and to the Western world and to the whole world and document what Muslims are doing to their fellow Muslims. And then immediately send out the Israeli Air Force to destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program and say, do you want Iran to have nuclear bombs? Do you want the same Iran that slaughtered 2 million of their fellow Muslims in the Iran-Iraq war? Do you want that lunatic country to have the capability to carry out another Holocaust? And I can assure you that huge numbers of people would be supportive and sympathetic to Israel if I were Prime Minister and we destroyed Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. We would do it, and we would actually get more support, more respect from the world, despite the fact that there'd be formal condemnations. In a formal way, there would be condemnations, official condemnations. But among public opinion, especially in the United States, there would be tremendous support and even admiration for Israel if we took out Iran's nuclear bomb-making program and we presented it the way it should be presented. We presented the case the way it should be presented. Of course, even if that weren't true, even if the whole world would be against Israel, when there's a nuclear threat, when there's a threat of another Holocaust, a prime minister of Israel has to defend his people and should not be concerned about public opinion. The world didn't lift a finger to save 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. And the Jews were so worried about offending people, they allowed 6 million of their brothers and sisters to be murdered. We don't give a damn about world opinion when the life of even a single Jew is in danger. But it just so happens. It just so happens that Israel actually would get more respect from the people of the world, more respect from public opinion, if we did take a tough stand and did stand up for principles for a change. And of course, if I were prime minister, I would begin a program to encourage the Arabs to leave Israel. Several million Arabs live in the land of Israel. I would encourage them to leave. And I would point out to the world in doing this, again, that we're dealing with a people whose ideology, whose religion, whose lifestyle is one that leads them to want to commit mass murder and genocide. And we're not going to be victims of mass murder and genocide. Would the world condemn us for encouraging the Arabs to leave? Yes, the world will condemn. But again, quietly, a lot of people privately would respect what we're doing and would wish that they had leaders in the United States and Europe who would do the same thing with the Muslims in the United States and Europe. Privately, a lot of people would be saying, oh, we wish we had leaders like Chaim ben Pesach. We wish we had leaders like this in America and Europe to get the Muslims out of the United States and Europe. And we would begin a program, of course, of mass Jewish settlement in Judea and Samaria. And we would do what has to be done for the security and the survival of the Jewish people. And the whole time we would present an uncompromising, truthful, factual, historic case. Wouldn't that be a wonderful world? Wouldn't you love being able to tune in and hear Chaim ben Pesach explaining what the facts are in the Middle East on Fox News or even on Meet the Press or Face the Nation or these other left-wing media sources, because I would also be interviewed by them as well. Wouldn't you just love being able to hear this? And of course, don't think I wouldn't say to the American people, because Obama would be condemning me left and right, screw him. Don't think I wouldn't say to the American people, you should not be supporting Obama, and you should not be supporting politicians that leave your borders open and don't secure your borders, and you should not be supporting politicians that are destroying your country. We're correcting what's going on in Israel. You should be supporting leaders that will do the same thing in America. That would be my message. And I think it's a message that would get us tens of millions of admirers and supporters in the United States. I think the evangelical Christians, I think many Republicans, many conservatives would love that message, would love to see a prime minister that does things like that and that speaks like that and that finally stands up for principles. And even before then, if we were just a mass movement, before taking control of the government, if we were just a big movement with millions of people hearing us, with millions of people hearing our message on a regular basis, if Chaim ben Pesach was the Rush Limbaugh of Israel or the Sean Hannity of Israel, or the Bill O'Reilly of Israel, with a huge audience hearing his message all the time. I don't have to tell you what a tremendous difference that would make. How many young Israeli Jews who instinctively believe that their cause is right, but don't know the answers, they haven't heard the arguments, nobody's explained to them, they've just been brainwashed day and night. If we were there to finally say to them, here are the facts, here's the truth. Everything you've been taught is a lie, what they've been teaching you in school, the media's been telling you, all lies, you're being brainwashed. Here's the truth. You have no idea how grateful most Israeli Jewish youth would be to hear that message. We would have a lot of enthusiastic support in Israel. We'd also have a lot of self-hating, sick Jews who would oppose us, yes. But a lot of very normal Jews would be happy and relieved to hear that message and would be so grateful that someone finally is bringing them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And of course, being a mass movement in Israel, influencing things in Israel, would automatically bring us a great deal of media attention in the United States, which we would use also to do interviews in the United States to get attention in America, to bring our message to the American people and also encourage the American people to do what's right. By the way, you know, of all the candidates running for president in 2016, of course, Hillary Clinton will probably be the Democrat nominee. She's a vicious Jew hater, a vicious enemy of Israel, a traitor to the United States, a corrupt, evil, dishonest woman, a wretched animal who said in the 1990s that she wanted to study Islam, that Islam is a beautiful religion, she said, and she wants to study Islam. I mean, this woman wants to be a Muslim. And she, of course, hired her girlfriend, Abedin, Huma Abedin, who is married to Anthony the Wiener. And she defends her. She's so close to Huma Abedin. And there's a lot of corrupt things going on there. I mean, she got her a job with taxpayer money, continuing to pay her even after Huma Abedin isn't working for her anymore. I mean, just all types of shenanigans have been going on there. Huma Abedin is with the Muslim Brotherhood. Is a supporter of Muslim terrorism and the Muslim Brotherhood. That's Hillary Clinton's main aide, whom Hillary Clinton says, she's like my daughter, I love her like my daughter. I mean, just, you can imagine if Hillary Clinton, God forbid, were in the White House. It would be a continuation of the horrific, nightmarish policies of Barack Hussein Obama. Just as bad. Certainly no improvement. In some areas, maybe even worse. And, of course, on the Republican side, I don't have to tell you about traitors like Chris Christie or Rand Paul. I don't have to tell you about them. The only Republican I see right now who is actually planning to run, who seems to be pretty good, is Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas. He seems to be pretty good. I'm very impressed with what I see so far from Ted Cruz. My favorite would have been Mike Huckabee because he is such a devoted Zionist and so loyal to Israel and a true evangelical Christian Baptist minister who loves the Jewish people and loves Israel. I mean, he went to Israel 20 times. He's against Israel giving up even 1 inch of land. He said there is no Palestinian people. I mean, he really would be a dream come true for us if he were president. But I don't think he's going to run. He didn't run in 2012. I was disappointed that he didn't run, and I don't think he's going to run in 2016 either. Ted Cruz, I do believe, is going to run. Ted Cruz also comes from a family of evangelical Baptists, and that's good. Contrary to what all the self-hating Jewish leftists say, when it comes to Israel and Jewish policies, that's good. The evangelicals are the biggest supporters of Israel. And Ted Cruz is actually good on issues, on the other issues, like immigration, the Second Amendment. He's good on all those other issues as well, so far. So I'm pretty impressed with what I see from Ted Cruz, and the left absolutely detests him. They are so horrified. The Republican establishment detests him. They're horrified by him, which makes me like him even more. So, you know, I think we got to keep our eye open and we got to seriously consider whether or not we should begin a campaign in the near future to support Ted Cruz for president, because I really think he's the one candidate that seems to be saying the right things. And on Israel, you know, he gave a speech to Christians United for Israel, the group of Pastor Hagee's group in Texas. And he gave a speech there, and he spoke about God's commandment, the biblical commandment, and God's commandment to defend Israel and be loyal to Israel. I mean, he spoke about it in religious and theological terms, the need to support Israel from the Bible and from God's commandment. I mean, this is the way we'd like to see leaders speak. Because that's the real reason why people should be supporting Israel, because God says you're supposed to support Israel. There is no reason more important. You can't have a reason more important than what God commands you to do. And he actually said that in the speech. I was very impressed with that speech. I watched his whole speech before Christians United for Israel. It was about an 18, 19-minute speech. I watched the whole speech. I was very impressed. Very impressed. I don't see anybody else on the horizon speaking up and standing up the way he is. And so far, he's been pretty uncompromising. So I think it's something we should keep in mind for America, you know, for our American, for the English language American end of our movement, the possibility of supporting someone like Ted Cruz for president, that's something we should keep in mind. We certainly must begin a campaign against Hillary Clinton. That's something that we're going to have to do. I don't know exactly when, but eventually we are going to get deeply involved in a campaign against Hillary Clinton. Can she be beaten? Can she be stopped? Or is there a new left-wing majority in America that elected Obama twice? Is it now hopeless? I don't think it's hopeless. I think that the odds are against us. I think the polls show she's winning, and I think that Hillary Clinton's going to win, and I think the odds are against us. That's what the past two elections have proven. America has changed, demographically and otherwise. The odds are against us. But I do think we have to try, and I don't think it's hopeless. In any event, I just wanted to share with you my thoughts of what a different world this would be if we were accessing huge numbers of people and if we were a mass movement. How much of a better and healthier and more sane and normal world this would be if people heard our sane, normal, healthy message of truth, unapologetic truth. In the meantime, of course, we're doing videos that, in my opinion, are really excellent videos. I think our videos are outstanding. Yishar Koach, more power to Shlomo, who is doing such great English language videos. And our Hebrew videos. I hope you've been paying attention. We've been uploading Hebrew and English videos. We've been putting them on the forum. Really, really great videos on all types of subjects. Very important videos. We had 3 more great Hebrew videos this week. We've been doing an average of about 3 Hebrew videos a week and 2 or 3 English videos a week. I mean, really high quality videos. Tragically, not enough people see them. The people who see them are usually impressed and usually influenced by what we're saying because the videos are very convincing, very persuasive, very powerful. But not enough people see them. That's our problem. That's our problem. If more people saw them, we could change history. But we have to continue. You know that we have to continue to speak out. We're not allowed to be silent. We've got to reach, if we're reaching thousands of people, it's not enough. We should be reaching millions. But if it's our destiny to reach thousands, then we're going to do what we can by reaching thousands. We're going to try to influence things, and we're going to try to change things and move things with the best resources that we can. We're going to do everything we can to try to change things. And that's what we're doing. And I could tell you that, you know, people who see our videos are influenced by them. People who go to our Facebook pages, and we do get a lot of visitors there, are influenced by them. People who come to our forums and see what we say are influenced. You have some self-hating evil people that are hopeless. But I'm saying people that are not self-hating evil beasts, people who have some normality or sanity in them, when they get our message, it has an impact. It has an influence on them. And that's our job. Our job is to influence and convince people and motivate people. And we've got to do that as much as we can. We have to wake people up. If we wake enough people up, then obviously the whole situation and history changes. So that's what we're doing. And that's why we need your help. I know that you agree with this. You agree with what I'm saying. You agree that it's very important that people see this message, that it's very important that people know the truth, that it's very important that Americans and Israeli Jews understand what the challenges are, that our very survival is indeed at stake. I know that you understand that. And so I urge you to get as active and involved as possible. When you see us put up Hebrew and English videos, like this week we put up 5 or 6 more videos, 3 in Hebrew, 2 or 3, I don't remember if it was 2 or 3 in English. When you see us do that, please help us promote those Hebrew and English videos on the Facebook, YouTube, and Google search engines. How do you do that? You go to YouTube, you go to Facebook, and you like and favorite and comment and share and mirror the videos. Help us. Do your part in helping us to spread the word. You know how important it is. You agree with us that the more people that see this, the better. Help us. Also, post good posts, good threads and good posts that will convince people, that will enlighten people, that will bring people to our movement, both on our forums and on our Facebook pages. Very important. And last but not least, you know that our downfall and the downfall of Jabotinsky before the Holocaust, when he was warning the Jews of Europe that there was going to be a Holocaust and didn't have enough money to carry out his plans, and therefore there was a Holocaust. The downfall of Rabbi Kahana, when he was banned and eventually murdered, even though he had a lot of support in Israel, he didn't have the budget or the funds to fight back properly when they banned him and when they committed a terrible injustice against him. Historically, the downfall of right-wing Jews and of Jewish leaders telling the truth and of Jewish movements that stand for the truth has been the lack of funds. It's a terrible tragedy because the Jews give to all types of garbage causes, the most evil causes. Look how they gave hundreds of millions of dollars to Obama. The most evil people and evil causes they support generously. And we can't raise millions of dollars so that we could reach millions of people and change history. The one group that's telling the whole truth. But we still, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what the challenge is, we have to do what has to be done. We have to keep speaking out. We have to try our best. We're not allowed to ever, ever give up. With whatever resources we have, we got to continue to fight. And so it's important that people help us with checks, money orders, cash donations to the post office box. People who, and God bless the great JTFers who are doing that, who are generously supporting us with checks, money orders, and cash donations. God bless you. Because you know at least this is one group that will try our very best and do everything we can to stand for the truth and to save Israel and also to fight to wake America up. You know this is one group that's going to be doing that and that's not going to stop. And you know that every check and money order and cash donation with us makes a difference. It helps us to reach more people. It helps us to spread our message further and you know how important that is. And also those who, with their credit cards, go to the donate button on our English main page, jtf.org, and on our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. We have a donate button on top. Those people who go there and make donations with their credit card, God bless you. Very important. Every time you do that, that helps. It definitely helps. And so we're setting things up and preparing things for the day when eventually we catch a break, or if we don't, someone will eventually catch a break. Someone with our message will catch a break. And eventually, this will be a mass movement. And this will be the message that will redeem people someday. So we're just paving the way. We're just preparing things for that day. And in the meantime, we're trying to change things for the better as much as we can. And those of you who are helping us are helping in this very, very sacred and vital endeavor. And I thank you. I thank you and may God bless you for what you're doing. Because you're supporting a cause that represents true idealism. And your idealism is something that is worthy of being blessed and praised. Because this is a generation that's selfish. And so when you're an idealist in this generation, you stand out. And believe me, though, God pays attention. God pays attention to what we do. And maybe because of what we're doing. You never know. Maybe because of what we're doing, God will have more mercy on Israel and on the world because of what we're doing, when he sees our efforts. It's happened before in history. Because of the few, God blesses and saves the many. That has happened before. And so, again, I thank you, and get involved with us. It's very important. And remember just what's at stake here. And now let's go to our questions from our great JTFers. And we start with the great Yemach Shmo Tuwiner, who writes, and I quote, Der Chaim, what is your opinion on inventor David Sarnoff? Unquote. I don't know a tremendous amount about him. I know that he was involved with radio and television and RCA. I remember reading about him when I was a kid. He was famous. When I was a kid, he was actually quite famous, David Sarnoff, because he was running RCA and he was involved with television and radio. I don't know much else about him. I know that he was married to one woman, just to one woman all his life, and she was Jewish, so he was a Jew who married a fellow Jew. That's certainly good. But beyond that, I don't really know enough to be able to say much more about him than that. I'm sorry. That's pretty much all I know about him. Anyway, thank you for the question, Yemach Shmo Tuwiner. And now we go to our friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think of the new theory on the death of Prince Diana, unquote? Oh, I think it's complete. I know that it's complete nonsense. How do I know? Because this is this conspiracy nonsense put out by Egyptian Muslims who think everything is a conspiracy. Because in their country, everything is. In Egypt, everything really is a conspiracy. Why do Muslims always think everything's a conspiracy? Because in the Muslim world, it really is. In the Muslim world, that's how everything functions. Everything is this one plotting against that one, and this one stabbing that one in the back. That's the way things work in the Muslim world. And so you have Egyptian Muslims claiming that because her boyfriend, whom she was having relations with, was an Egyptian Muslim, that that's why they decided to kill her. They didn't decide to kill her. Her driver was drunk. They tested him and he was drunk and he crashed. I mean, that's what happened. There was no conspiracy to kill her. That's complete nonsense. Thank you, Joe. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, one, is Egypt now labeling the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist group, unquote? I think they're going to, but The Egyptian regime is still an evil regime. Remember, this is the same Egyptian army. The Egyptian regime is run by the Egyptian military. This is the same Egyptian military that went to war to destroy Israel and commit genocide against the Jewish people in 1948, 1956, 1967, and 1973. This is the Egyptian army that, had they won those wars, God forbid, they would have exterminated the Jewish people. Just like they're exterminating their own people. And look at how they mowed down hundreds of their own people in Egypt. So these are also very evil people. The Muslim Brotherhood on one side, the Egyptian military on the other side. They're corrupt, they're murderous, they're cruel, they slaughter their own. By the way, the anti-Semitic and anti-Israel and anti-American propaganda and anti-Christian propaganda on Egyptian television, Egyptian radio, and the Egyptian media that's controlled by the Egyptian government has not stopped for 1 minute. So the Egyptian military, I mean, these are also very evil, monstrous people. That's something we should bear in mind. No support should ever go, no foreign aid, no support should ever go to Muslim nations or Muslim leaders or Muslim organizations. And now Dr. Dan writes, and I quote, two, are some settlers providing drugs to Israelis? Your thoughts, unquote. Of course not. I mean, now I'm not saying that there aren't some bad people. You have bad people everywhere. But the vast majority of Jews who live in Judea and Samaria don't take drugs and don't provide drugs to anybody. I mean, they're the best citizens Israel has. If anybody are model citizens, it's the settlers in Judea and Samaria. I don't know what other smears people are going to come up with. They found two or three They found two or three settlers who were smoking joints, and now they want to say that the settlers are all drug addicts? I mean, it's absurd. The percentage of Jews using drugs on Jewish settlements in Judea and Samaria is certainly far, far lower than the percentage among Jews throughout the rest of Israel. Not that Israeli Jews are big drug users, they're not. But, I mean, compared to other people, Israeli Jews probably use drugs far less than most other people. It's terrible if any Jew uses drugs. No Jew should be using drugs, should be using narcotics. But among Jews in Judea and Samaria, I mean, this is a serious problem. You think that there are a lot of heroin addicts and crack addicts and cocaine addicts running around Judea and Samaria? I mean, that's absurd. It's absurd. I mean, they can't stop trying to find ways to smear the Jews in these areas. And there are some very bad Jews. I mean, the Yesha Council are very bad, corrupt Jews that live there. So you have some bad people living in Judea and Samaria too. But the reason they want to smear settlers in general is because they don't want people to support settling in the land of Israel. They want to surrender the land of Israel. They want Israel to commit suicide. They don't want a sensible, sane foreign policy. We have to support the settlers for the simple reason that unless there are a lot of Jews living there, we're going to lose our homeland. So we have to support settlements and settlers. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And now we go to The Great Hollywood is a Dreamland for Marx and Lenin, who writes, and I quote, American rock band Bloodhound Gang faces criminal charges in Russia after one of its members put Russian flag in his pants while performing in Ukraine, unquote. Yeah, but you know something? Now, look, Russia is an anti-Semitic country, and they're trying to destroy Israel. And for hundreds of years, there were pogroms against the Jews, and they were vicious anti-Semites, even though Russia would be a backward nothing of a country if not for the Jewish brains. I mean, the Jews were the scientists, the Jews were the brains in Russia. But, and you see, by the way, that Russia, you see how, what a price Russia paid when the Jews finally left, when most of the Jews have left Russia, and Russia really did have a brain drain when that happened. So I'm certainly no fan of Russia. They're enemies of America. They're enemies of Israel. They're very hateful, anti-Semitic people. There's no question about that. However, you know, we can learn, even from evil people, sometimes you can learn things. It says in the Talmud, who is wise? He who learns from all men. You can learn things even from the most evil people. You can learn certain lessons. You don't want to learn the evil things they do, but you can learn certain things from their behavior. The Russians have enough respect for their flag that if somebody does something disrespectful to their flag, they're going to arrest them. Now, compare that to the United States and Israel. In America, if someone does something desecrating the American flag, nothing happens. If someone desecrates the Israeli flag in Israel, which the Arabs do every 3 seconds, they burn flags, they do everything terrible to the Israeli flag, nothing happens. In Russia, if you do it, they'll arrest you. I mean, on this issue, you know, as much as I can't stand the anti-Semitism of Russia, and as much as I'm against Russia as an enemy of Israel and America, you know, on this issue, we can actually learn something from them. Thank you, Hollywood is a Dreamland for Marx and Lenin. And now we go to the great Chicago Jew, whom I had the pleasure of meeting a little bit over a week ago. The great Chicago Jew writes, and I quote, your thoughts and opinion of my congresswoman, Jan Schakowsky. Okay. Chicago Jew, Jan Schakowsky is one of the most evil people in Congress. And that's saying a lot because almost everyone in Congress is very evil. So you can imagine if she's one of the most evil. I mean, this beast, first of all, is one of the most left-wing members of Congress. She goes around saying that she thinks she's the most left-wing member of the whole Congress. That's how far to the left she is. And you know that most of the Congress is, in my opinion, most of the Congress is left-wing. But she is so extreme. She is one of the most extreme left-wing members of Congress. She's constantly demanding that Israel create a so-called Palestine state and retreat to the pre-1967 suicide borders, which are only 6 to 9 miles wide, which is national suicide for Israel. She is constantly demanding that Israel do that. When Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim Jew hater, said that the pre-1967 suicide borders is something that Israel has to retreat to, that this is the basis for what he calls an agreement, she immediately endorsed his Jew-hating statement. She immediately said that he's right, that this is what it should be based on, that this is American policy. She immediately endorsed the pre-1967 suicide borders for Israel when Obama came out and demanded that Israel commit suicide. She is a fanatic supporter of the Jew-hater Barack Hussein Obama, and has been a fanatic supporter of his from the very beginning. When he first announced his candidacy in 2007, she attended his press conference. She supported him before he even was running. She was supporting him. She's one of his most fanatic, loyal supporters. So, I mean, I could go on and on. She's just pure evil. She signed statements demanding that there be more pressure on Israel to commit suicide. She is pure evil. Yimach Shma Vezichra. May her name and memory be obliterated. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we go to the great Yimach Shmoda Lewinsky, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, is Christian, quote-unquote, identity the white version of black Islam, unquote? Yeah, of course it is. I mean, these are people who are obsessed with blind hatred and jealousy and who use religion to justify their evil behavior. Of course, in the case of the black Muslims, their religion really does preach this type of fanatic hatred. Christian identity groups are not Christian. Okay, Christianity does not say that only whites can be Christian. And if you read the Christian Bible, you'll see clearly that Jesus and the apostles and the founders of Christianity were all Jews. The Christian identity so-called church says that's not true. They were Aryans. Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, also said that Jesus and the apostles were Aryans. That the rabbis came and pretend and distorted that and put in that Jesus was a Jew, but that's all a lie. That's something the rabbis made up. As if the rabbis had anything to do with Christianity. The rabbis never had anything to do with Christianity. But anyway, so the Christian Identity Church, the neo-Nazi Christian Identity Church, which is what Yimach Shmoda Lewinsky is referring to, is indeed something that completely distorts Christianity, and that it is a Nazi movement. They are openly Nazi, and of course that means that they're filled with the same type of hatred, envy, and evil that we see in the black Muslim movement. Thank you, Yimach Shmoda Lewinsky, and they're the flip side of the black Muslim movement. And now we go to our friend Hayamin Tzadak, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, which beastly creature to vote for Jerusalem mayor? Is obese Moshe Leon as vile as Muslim Nazi appeasing incumbent Nir Barakat? Unquote. Oh, I don't know. They're both so terrible. Moshe Leon is, you know, he's the candidate of the unbelievably evil, corrupt Avigdor Lieberman, who was involved in gaining loans for the person who built a casino for Yasser Arafat to raise money for the PLO terrorists. And Avigdor Lieberman was involved with all of that. I mean, just a corrupt, evil person. Avigdor Lieberman was the foreign minister of Israel until recently, but now he's on trial for corruption charges. And he supports Moshe Leon, who has been his political ally and his political protege for many, many years. And Shas and Aryeh Deri are supporting Moshe Leon. Aryeh Deri is someone who is on the far left, who supported the Oslo agreements, who supports a so-called Palestine state, who supports a retreat to the pre-67 borders, who supports the Geneva Initiative to get Israel to go back to the pre-67 suicide borders. I mean, Aryeh Deri is an extreme left-wing, self-hating, Judenrat traitor, the worst scum of the earth. And he is very much involved with Moshe Leon and his campaign for mayor of Jerusalem. So this guy is pure scum. And then the incumbent, Nir Barkat, is also pure scum. He spent all his time building things and creating things for Muslims. We have to help the Muslim residents of the city, and we have to help with the mosques. Just a disgusting individual. So they're both horrific. I don't know who's worse. I honestly don't know who's worse. So I just don't know. I don't know. I haven't studied beyond what I'm telling you. I know they're both just absolutely terrible. Thank you, Hayamin Tzadak. And now we go to our friend Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Do you think there is a time or possibility to just abandon the whole idea of Israel for the time being because of all of its problems?" Unquote. Tag Mechir, I'm surprised you're asking this question. God forbid, abandon the whole idea of Israel? Are you kidding me? Abandon something that Jews for thousands of years dreamed of and waited for, and millions of Jews died dreaming of a return to the land of Israel? Abandon it because the Jewish leaders that are running it are evil? Are you kidding me? I mean, the fact that things are bad there, this was all predicted. This is to be expected, that things are going to be bad there. We were told that in the final generation things would be bad, and God anyway put the Jews there. You don't think things were bad in 1948 when the Jews were given a Jewish state? Things were terrible. They murdered Jews on the Altalena. They murdered 16 Jewish Holocaust survivors from the Irgun on the Altalena. I mean, it was horrible what happened when Israel was created. They did terrible things. But still, the state of Israel itself, the concept of a Jewish state, is sacred because God created the Jewish state, even if the most terrible people are running the Jewish state. The concept of the state itself, of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel, remains sacred. Even though we oppose the Israeli government and will fight against the Israeli government, we'll oppose the Israeli establishment and fight against the Israeli establishment. But the concept of a Jewish homeland and a Jewish state is absolutely sacred. God forbid. God forbid. How could you even suggest such a thing? This is the most positive thing that has happened for the Jewish people in 2,000 years. Abandon this and go back to the days of Auschwitz and the pogroms and the Inquisitions and the Galut? God forbid. And it's not just because of the persecution of Jews. It is a desecration of God's name for Jews to live outside of Israel. And it's a sanctification of His name when Jews live in their homeland. Thank you, Tag Mechir. And now we go to our friend Papercut, who writes, and I quote, "Chaim, how about making up some JTF t-shirts and bumper stickers to promote JTF? How about a daily radio show or a weekly one-hour video?" Unquote. These are all great ideas, Papercut. The only thing is, it's not cost-effective in this day and age for us to do t-shirts and bumper stickers. It's much more cost-effective for us to do whatever promoting we're going to do online. That's more cost-effective. That's the future. The future is on the internet itself. You reach, with the money you would spend with t-shirts and bumper stickers and things as you do offline, you reach more people online. You actually reach more people online. As far as a daily radio show or a weekly one-hour video, we used to have weekly programs. Actually, at one point, we were on four times a week on local cable television here in New York City. And it was no question it was very good, and no question it would be helpful, and it would be good if we had that. But we're doing something like that, except it's a truncated version. We're doing the videos instead. We're doing the videos. We do 5 or 6 videos a week, and the videos are not as long as a whole hour program, and so, you know. We do videos, and we try to reach new people. The videos are intended to reach new people. Once we reach new people, you see that we do this program that we do every week is usually over an hour every week. So we're through the videos and the forums and the Facebook pages and what we're doing on YouTube, through all of these venues, we're reaching people and we're trying to reach people. Everything you're suggesting would be good and helpful, but we have a limited budget and limited time, and therefore we're concentrating mainly on the internet, on what we're doing on the internet because of our limitations, our budgetary limitations and our time constraints, because we want to reach as many people as possible with whatever resources we have. Thank you very much, Papercut, and by the way, if somebody else wants to do a JTF radio show or a JTF one-hour video, or if somebody else wants to do things like this, they're free to do that. You know, our great JTF members, if they want to do that, they're free to do that. Thank you, Papercut. And now we go to our friend Russian Leo 777, who writes, and I quote, "One, please expose Glenn Greenwald. May this sodomite die of AIDS as soon as possible," unquote. Amen. Glenn Greenwald is the self-hating extreme left-wing Jew who has been leaking classified documents and classified information together with his Brazilian homosexual so-called partner. He's another one who's married to another man. I mean, just, they're all so sick, these people. They're just beyond, you know, it's just beyond the pale how sick these people are. You know, they're all so crazy. They're crazy in their personal lives. They're crazy in their political views. They're crazy in their religious views. They're crazy in every way. Anyway, there's no question he's a vicious, self-hating Jew of the worst type. He's written, by the way, dozens of times. He's written the most anti-Semitic filth against Israel. He says that the Jews are controlling foreign policy of the United States on behalf of Israel. Oh, I wish the Jews were loyal to Israel. All the Jews that influence American foreign policy are loyal to Israel. They're just like him. They're all self-hating Jews like him. I mean, come on. It's unbelievable. If you took all the Jews that have positions of influence in the government, the media, you took them out so that no Jews had any more positions of influence in politics, government, or media, Israel would be much safer today. Much safer, because they're all hurting Israel. They undermine Israel. There'd be less pressure on Israel, less problems. Look at all the Jews. Look at Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel and all these self-hating animals surrounding Obama. All of them are constantly telling him, you got to pressure Israel more. You got to push. I mean, they're the worst Jewish anti-Semites. And yet this animal, like a true Jewish anti-Semite, he's another Jewish anti-Semite, he writes, oh, the Jews are deliberately, they control foreign policy to help Israel. Oh, yeah. It's very helpful to Israel that they fight to get Obama in office and then tell him to pressure Israel to commit suicide. That's very, very good for Israel. Absolutely. And now Russian Leo 777 writes, and I quote, "Two, who is uglier, Chelsea Clinton or Chelsea Manning?" Unquote. Well, Chelsea Clinton is certainly very, very ugly. Chelsea Manning, I think you're referring to Bradley Manning, the soldier that the so-called soldier who leaked all this information, all the classified documents, and now he says his name is Chelsea and that he's really a woman and he wants to undergo a sex change. Another very normal person. They're all very normal. Now, I don't know who's worse. I don't know if Chelsea Clinton's worse or Chelsea Manning is worse. I think they're both as horrific as you can get. But what a world this has become. What a sick, sick world this has become. Thank you, Russian Leo 777. And now we go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "New York Nazi Times says Joe Lahora is Jewish al pi halacha, mom's mom. He boasts of this in a Jewish market. Is he a self-hating Jew that should be defeated?" Unquote. I didn't know this. I mean, I said on prior programs, I'd said that I think that I intended to vote for Joe Lahora and that I supported him. He, by the way, for those of you who don't know, Joe Lahora is Rudy Giuliani's candidate for mayor of New York. Rudy Giuliani supports him. He's a Republican. He's running in the Republican primary. I thought he was Italian. So I didn't like him, by the way, because he's a leftist. He supports gay marriage and supports abortion and supports all these leftist things like Giuliani. And I think he does it because he figures in New York City, which voted 81% for Barack Hussein Obama, you got to do this in order to get elected. whatever his reason is, I never liked him. I don't like any of the candidates running. But I figured he's the lesser of the evils because he's going to basically be similar to Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani was someone who actually did a good job in terms of bringing the crime rate down and trying to get New York City a little bit more civilized. New York City, because of Giuliani's policies, New York City today is one of the safest cities in the world. New York City has a very low crime rate compared to other cities in the United States. Very low. Much lower than most other cities. And that's because of the aggressive policing policy that Giuliani instituted. So I thought Joe LaHorta would continue that policy so we wouldn't have chaos in the streets and mass murder again in the streets like we had before Giuliani took office. And Joe LaHorta has promised to continue that. And that's why I was supporting him. But I thought he was Italian. And he, you know, his physical genetic line is actually mostly is Italian. But his mother's mother, maternal grandmother, is Jewish. And that means, al pi halacha, according to Jewish law, he's Jewish. And that is not good. That's not good news. You know I do not like Jews holding office in America. I think they do tremendous damage to the Jewish people, and I also think it's a sin. So I'm not going to support him now. I'm supporting his opponent now. What's his opponent's name? John Castimides. I don't know how to pronounce it. John, I don't even have it in front of me. I don't know what his name is. I don't have anything in front of me right now, so I don't know. It's Castimides or a Greek. He's a Greek billionaire. He owns supermarkets in New York. He owns the Gristides supermarket chain. He used to own Red Apple. So he's a billionaire. He's a Greek guy born in Greece who came here, made billions of dollars, and he's running for mayor. Unfortunately, he's also a leftist. He's also a left-wing Republican and so on. But he promises again to keep the city safe. As far as I'm concerned, he's a lesser of the evils. I don't think I think this is all this type of speculation and just all of this. You know, this is really all going to be for naught anyway, because I don't think that the Republican candidate has any realistic chance of winning. I think the Democrat is going to be overwhelmingly elected in New York City this year. I think this is not the same city that elected Rudy Giuliani. This is a different city now, and I think that the Democrat candidate is going to win overwhelmingly. Remember, again, the city voted 81%. For Barack Hussein Obama. That's the type of crazy city this is. But because you point Binyamin, I did not know that he was actually halachically Jewish. I did not know this. I thought he was Italian. That's why I said I'm gonna vote for him. Now that I know that he's halachically Jewish, I'm not gonna vote for him. Thank you, Binyamin, for pointing this out. And now we go to the great Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, "One, is Assad the lesser of the two evils compared with the Syrian opposition?" Unquote. I think the best option is when they keep killing each other. I want this civil war to go on. If Assad is replaced, that's the end of the civil war. So I think the best option is for this to continue and drag on and they keep killing each other. That's what I'd like to see. To me, that's the lesser of the evils. Seeing them continue the civil war and continue to slaughter each other. That's the outcome that I like to see. And now Da Vinci writes, too, "Is Barack Hussein Obama planning to intervene in the Syrian conflict?" Unquote. I think he certainly is. I think he is. And I'm against that, of course. I don't think the United States should intervene. I think the United States should stay out of it. Thank you, Da Vinci. And now we go to, I hope I'm not skipping anybody here. Now we go to the great Gimatria, who writes, and I quote, "What should we know about the Nakba?" Unquote. The Nakba, which literally means like catastrophe or even Holocaust in Arabic, is the term the Arabs use for the creation of the state of Israel. They refer to that as the Nakba. In other words, the very existence of any Jewish state at all, of any Jewish sovereignty, of any rights for the Jewish people, is called the catastrophe. When the state of Israel came into being, they call that the Nakba, the catastrophe. And they commemorate it. And they have demonstrations where they burn Israeli flags on the anniversary of Israel's creation every year. They have Nakba rallies where they call for the destruction of Israel and the Jewish people. That is the enemy that we're being told we should give a so-called Palestine state to, and that Israel should retreat to the pre-67 borders with that enemy, and that we're supposedly going to have peace with this fanatic Nazi, jealous, evil, monstrous, primitive, hateful enemy that refers to our very existence as the Nakba, as the catastrophe. And now Gematria writes, and I quote, "Have you heard about this UNRWF day camp in Gaza? U.S. gives $230 million. Where does it come from? Toda Chaim." Yes, I've seen the story about this where they teach, in all the schools in Gaza and in all the Arab schools throughout the land of Israel. They teach hatred for the Jewish people. They teach exterminating the Jewish people. You know, the math lessons. You know what type of math lessons Muslim children get? If there are 10 Jews and you murder 3 Jews, how many Jews are left? That's how they teach subtraction. Or if you murdered 2 Jews in one battle and murdered 3 Jews in another battle, how many Jews did you murder altogether? That's how they teach addition. I mean, this is a fact. This is how they teach things. On all the maps, in all the schools, all the official maps throughout the Arab world, Israel does not appear. Israel does not exist on any of their maps. It's always Palestine. No Jewish city exists. Jerusalem is called Al-Quds, which is what the Muslims refer to it as. Jerusalem doesn't exist. Jerusalem is called Al-Quds on all the Arab maps. Tel Aviv doesn't exist. It's been wiped off the face of the earth on their maps. The United States funds this, and the UN funds it, of course. By the way, Israel also funds all of these things. Israel funds all of these programs, even not only in Gaza, even in pre-67 Israel. These are the type of hate lessons that Arab children receive in schools in pre-67 Israel. All the Arab teachers teach them this, and no one dare. You're not allowed to interfere with this. That's racist. Oh, no, you're not allowed. They want to preach genocide and Holocaust. That's perfectly fine. So that's the insane reality of the world we live in. Only Gematria, we're the only ones who would put an end to this. We would put an end to this once and for all. Thank you, Gematria. And now we go to the great Nekama. And the great Nekama writes, and I quote, "Shalom, who is the biggest pervert? Anthony the Wiener, Bob Filner, or Elliot Spitzer?" Unquote. Oh, what a choice. What a choice. We have Anthony the Wiener, who sends naked pictures of himself to girls who are young enough to be his daughter, 1 month after he marries a black, Muslim Brotherhood terrorist. This is a self-hating Jew marrying a Muslim Brotherhood terrorist. And 1 month after he marries her, he's sending naked pictures of himself to 18 and 19-year-old girls. And he's in his late 40s. And by the way, after he resigns from Congress in disgrace and promises to go into therapy and stop, he was still doing it even after he resigned from Congress. He's still sending naked pictures of himself. He just can't control himself. He has to show naked pictures of himself to teenage girls who are young enough to be his daughter. Very normal. And then we have Bob Filner, the mayor of San Diego. Another very normal person. He was also a congressman. Now he's the mayor of San Diego. I think he just resigned. I think he's the former mayor. This very normal individual was grabbing, groping, and kissing women the minute he saw them. At last count, 17 or 18 women were groped and grabbed by Bob Filner, including a 67-year-old grandmother. And then he's also going into therapy now. And then we have Elliot Spitzer, who engages in money laundering and tax evasion and breaks the law and uses government funds to pay for his hookers. He goes with hookers. He pays them $2,000 or $3,000 a night. I mean, he's got some expensive call girls. $2,000 or $3,000 a night he pays them. But he didn't want people to know where the money's coming from or the transaction, so he urged banks to launder the money and to cover it up illegally in violation of federal law. So he could have been indicted. He should have been indicted. He should be in prison. I mean, you're telling banks to break the law and lie on federal documents and cover up and launder money just so that he could pay for his, just so he could pay for expensive call girls while he's the governor of New York, and he's arranging visits to different places pretending that he's going for part of his function as governor when he's really just going there so he can get away so that he could go into the hotel room with these $2,000 a night call girls. I mean, another piece of subhuman garbage. So, I don't know, take your pick. I don't know who's the most perverted. I don't know who's the most disgusting. By the way, I would add to the group Bill Clinton. You know, these guys really have a right to complain. Anthony the Weiner, Bob Filner, and Elliot Spitzer, because they're getting clobbered by the media, by the public. Everybody's attacking them. Bill Clinton got away with it. Bill Clinton served 8 years as president. He got away with it. He lied under oath. He covered up. He committed crimes to cover up. I did not have relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky, he said at the press. I mean, just openly lie, wagging his finger at the reporters and at the public, lying, just blatantly looking into the camera and lying to everybody. He got away with it. Here's another one who was having sex in the Oval Office. Aside from all the other scandals that he and his and his piglet wife, Hillary Sodom Arafat, were involved in. So, you know, just what a... You know, what a world this has become. What a country, what a world this has become. Thank you, Nekama. And now we go to our good friend Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, is it true that neoconservatives are really communist Trotskyites who have hijacked the American conservative movement, unquote? No. It's not true. It's not true that neoconservatives, that the whole concept is a code word for Jews. Neocons, neoconservatives, this is a code word for Jews. There are a couple of self-hating Jews who were leftists, who got turned off with the hardcore left and then defined themselves as neoconservatives in the 1970s. So that's how this term was invented and built up by anti-Semites. So they claim now, they use this term to make it seem like the Jews are controlling everything. The Jews control everything on behalf of Israel. Yeah. The self-hating Jews that they refer to, like Paul Wolfowitz, they always mention Paul Wolfowitz, who was very involved in the war in Iraq. They say Paul Wolfowitz got America involved in the war in Iraq to help Israel. Paul Wolfowitz supports Israeli national suicide, supports a Palestine state, supports Israel surrendering Jerusalem, supports the Geneva Initiative to get Israel to commit suicide. Paul Wolfowitz is against Israel's existence. He wants Israeli national suicide. That self-hating animal. You know, I love when, if there's a Jew involved in any of these movements or in any of these groups or any of these positions, they always say, well, he's doing this for Israel. He's doing, yeah, sure. I wish it was true. I wish the Jews were so loyal to Israel. It would be better for Israel and for America if you had Jews who were really loyal to Israel. I wish it was true. I mean, it's the opposite is true. These Jews are the worst enemies of their own people. As it says in the Bible, your enemy will come from within. So this whole thing is just a canard. This is all something the anti-Semites, Rand Paul, all the anti-Semites use this. The neocons. The anti-Semites use this term. It's a code word for Jews. Thank you, Maimonides. Pat Buchanan uses it. It's a code word. And now we go to the great LKZ, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim and God bless you. Explore the possibilities of the Kerry UN peace plan. What happens if Bibi says yes or no? Is this World War III bait? Unquote. Well, I think that as we mentioned last week on the program, Barack Hussein Obama and John Kerry are promising that at the end of the negotiations, they're going to propose a so-called peace plan. So obviously, there's a great danger when that happens. Because if Bibi says yes, then we're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble then. Then the only way to stop it is there has to be mass resistance. People have to block, tens of thousands of Jews in Judea and Samaria have to block the surrender of Jewish land with their bodies. That's the only hope we have at that point, if God forbid that happens. God forbid. So that's one possibility. Another dangerous possibility, which we didn't even speak about last week, is what they're calling an interim plan, with a coward Bibi Netanyahu. He feels he can't get Israel to give up everything and accept an entire plan. So he's going to do something. He'll just throw Jews out of part of Judea and Samaria for a temporary agreement. He'll say, okay, I'm going to remove some Jews and I'll give you more land. God forbid. Just as a temporary agreement. I'll kick some Jews out and I'll give you more land. That's something that Netanyahu is considering doing, God forbid. Let's hope that doesn't happen. In other words, another big chunk of Judea and Samaria he would hand over. He already did this in the past in the Y agreement. He handed over 13% of Judea and Samaria to Yasser Arafat and the PLO terrorists. He also handed over 97% of Hebron, the second holiest city in the world, to Arafat and the PLO terrorists. So he has a history of doing this. It's very possible he's going to do something like that again. God forbid. And you ask if it's World War III bait. Well, you know, I don't know when World War III is going to come. I do know that it's going to come. I don't know if it's going to come out of this or because of this. I don't know. That I don't know. But I do know there is going to be a World War III, and it's going to be the War of Gog and Magog. The Bible speaks about it. That eventually will happen. Thank you, LKZ. And now we go to the great Kahana loyalist, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, what is your opinion of the statement by M.K. Gafni of United Torah Judaism, that's a party in Israel, about how close UTJ and Meretz have become, unquote. It's such a disgrace. What a chilul Hashem. Gafni and United Torah Judaism, that's the name of their party, United Torah Judaism. They claim to be Haredim. They claim that they're very religious Jews. The same thing with Shas. They're supposed to be very religious. And they make alliances with a party like Meretz, which is a Marxist-Leninist, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-Zionist party that wants to destroy Israel, that literally wants Israel to be destroyed. They're against any Jewish state. Because even in the, they want Israel to go back to the pre-67 borders, but then within the pre-67 borders, they don't want a Jewish state. Within the pre-67 borders, they want to open up the state to all other groupdoms, especially Muslims, in a way where you don't have a Jewish state anymore. I mean, they favor the destruction of Israel and the destruction of the Jewish people. That's what Meretz is. It's an anti-Semitic, extreme left-wing Marxist party, and you have these so-called religious Jews who are forming alliances with this group Meretz. Openly. I mean, there are many articles in Israel about the close relationship and how they work together. It's unbelievable. What a chilul Hashem, what a desecration of God's name. What a disgrace. What a disgrace. Thank you, Kahana Loyalist. And now we go to the great Ephraim ben Noach, who writes, and I quote, What would you think about learning in a conservative temple and being a shill for JTF if it was your only option, unquote. I don't think it's a good idea. I think the best thing to do, if there's no Orthodox synagogue close by, learn online. Now we have computers. Now we have internet. There are all types of places where people can learn online. I think that's the best thing to do. There are huge numbers of lessons and rabbis giving lessons on all types of things in the Torah. People can learn all types of things. People can listen to rabbis on videos speaking about all of the Torah, all of the Bible, the Talmud, the laws, everything. It's all on video. There are thousands of videos out there. Some, many of them are on YouTube. Some of them are on religious sites. So it is very, very possible to learn online. I think that's a better option than learning the type of distorted assimilationist pseudo-Judaism of a conservative temple. That's a much better option. Thank you, Ephraim. And now we go to the great Imaknik, who writes, and I quote, "Do you say a blessing over the rainbow, lightning, and thunder? Is it a halakha to do so?" Unquote. Yes, it is a halakha, and you're supposed to do it, absolutely. Why do we do that? Why do we have blessings for when we see a rainbow or lightning or thunder? Because these are all manifestations of God's greatness. They're things in nature. They're part of nature, but they're aspects of nature that really show God's glory and majesty and greatness. And it's something you don't see every day. So it's when you have something that you don't see that often and that really is beautiful and really shows God's greatness and his majesty, you're supposed to say blessings. You're supposed to say a blessing for it. And that is halakha. That is Jewish law. Thank you, Imaknik. And now we go to our great friend EB22, who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion of the Washington Times newspaper, especially when comparing the WT to other newspapers?" Unquote. I don't like the Washington Times. It used to be owned by the Moonies, first of all. You know, the Moonies bought the Washington Times. So that cult around Reverend Moon. I don't know if they're still connected to it. I honestly don't know. But I don't like the newspaper. I see columns in the newspaper, and it's real establishment garbage. They're so-called conservatives. They're actually even worse than Fox and worse than the New York Post. I don't like that newspaper. I just don't like it. Sometimes they have good articles here and there exposing things once in a while. And, you know, and I'll quote from them and I'll quote from other people if they give me good information that will be helpful to the cause. I'll quote from them. I'll use it. But generally speaking, I don't like the way they report. I think they really are part of the Washington mindset, and that is not good. Thank you, EB22. And now we go to the great Where Was Chris Hansen in the 7th Century, who writes, and I quote, "French Interior Minister Manuel Valls said yesterday that he wanted to end all Islamic immigration because Islam is, quote, incompatible with France," unquote. Yes, I saw this. Great. I'm glad you brought this up. I saw this, but he's denying it now. He supposedly said this in a meeting. He was in a closed meeting, and he supposedly said it in the closed meeting. Now he's denying it. Now he's saying that he wants to prove that Islam is in fact compatible with France. He's already denying it. He's already backing off, which is something that I knew was going to happen, because it's just this type of truth. People are not willing to tell this type of truth. They're all scared to death. They're not willing to tell the truth. And that's unfortunate. If we ever take power, we will tell the truth. We really will tell the truth. Thank you so much. Where was Chris Hansen in the 7th century? And last but not least, we have the great Confederate Kahanist, who writes, and I quote, from Edward Jackson on ZooTube, who flagged my vid. "How did you slander Mr. Hawking like that? JTF slanders good Jews like Noam Chomsky and Elena Kagan," unquote. Oh, what a compliment. That's a real compliment. Edward Jackson really complimented us. First of all, he says we're attacking someone like Hawking, that vicious, Jew-hating piece of garbage who denies God's existence. He has the arrogance to deny the existence of the creator of the universe. And then and then wants to boycott Little Israel and support those who want to destroy Israel. I mean, what a vicious, miserable, Jew-hating piece of trash. And he says, we attacked him? He's calling it slander. There's no words could describe how low Hawking is. So if he's saying we attacked Hawking, that's a compliment. And then he says we attack. He calls Noam Chomsky, who wants to destroy Israel, openly says he wants to destroy Israel, who met with the leaders of Hezbollah and Hamas and all the Muslim terrorist organizations that want to exterminate all non-Muslims. And he calls him a good Jew? And he says we're attacking Noam Chomsky? Again, what a compliment. What a compliment. He has no idea what we would like to do to Noam Chomsky. He can't even imagine. I'm not even going to say because I'm a moderate, so I'm not even going to say what I would like to do to Noam Chomsky, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And as far as Elena Kagan, that filthy, ugly, she is one of the nastiest, ugliest. She looks like she looks like a white Oprah Winfrey. She is so ugly. I think if you put her together with Oprah Winfrey, they're like the Bopsy twins, except one is white and one is black. One is a self-hating Jew, Elena Kagan, and the other one is Oprah Winfrey's black. Oh, are they ugly. This self-hating beast, Elena Kagan, this filthy self-hating dog, this left-wing filthy self-hating dog, he claims that we attacked her? What a compliment. Confederate Kahanist, tell Edward Jackson he made my day. I am so proud that we're annoying him when we tell the truth. Annoying him makes my day. Annoying evil people is something that we like to do in JTF. We like to annoy the evil, and we like to make the evil people miserable, and we like to bring joy and happiness to the righteous people, to the righteous Jews and the righteous Gentiles. Thank you, Confederate Kahanist. And I really enjoy doing the program this week. Until next week, shalom.